Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It may be too hot for crickets tonight. So.
The red bus was excavated. Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way. Because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay. All right. I want you each to use Ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official Ombudsman of the Just Let's Play podcast. You like apples?
All right, here we go with another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Week two is in the books in the NFL. Today we are down LJ, but we got Pops and special guest Uncle Tony here to join us to talk some NFL football. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Just happy to be here, Kevin.
How y'all doing?
Man, just another day, another dollar over here. You know, I wanted to start out real quick. Tony, if you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you just keep on walking by?
You know, Kevin, it's funny you should mention that. Last week I was walking down the street, found $100 bills, and I picked it up. And I was wondering, I would love to double my money.
Interesting.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting you would ask this, because what I don't get is, why do people keep picking winners and not betting on them? And if you go over to my bookie, you can not only double that $100, Uncle Tone, but you can double it fast. It's fast, easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And MyBookie is the place to go. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. So you got to do the smart thing and just go over there. Like right now, you can bet on just the games. You know, you can hit the spread. By the way, since I mentioned spread, can I just go ahead and real quick ask y'all, do y'all know what the spread, guess the spread, if you haven't seen it already, of the Cowboys and Dolphins this week?
21.
I have not seen it. What was the New England spread?
8.
It was like
18.5.
Okay. I think I saw it at 16 at once, and it got up to 18 because people were hammering the Patriots. Rightfully so.
When I put money on my bookie, it was 18.5.
I don't know. I like Tony's. I want to say 20.5, just to be a little under Tony.
Last I checked, I don't know if it's moving. Last I checked, it was 20.5. So Ooh. Y'all were right all over it.
Dr. Lift is the winner.
They're going to, by the time this year ends, I don't know how big that spread's going to get between the Dolphins and I don't know who.
I saw an interesting quote that somebody said the Dolphins are actually just a flash mob.
Oh, that
I just showed up. Showed up on the field in their uniforms and started to dance.
That was an abysmal performance they put out there against the Patriots. But we'll get to that. But the best thing about my bookie is you can bet on the games before the game. You can bet on them after kickoff at the second half. If you don't like the way your bet's going, you can always take the other side and do a live in-game bet. And then if you're a fantasy guy, you can bet on fantasy stuff. You can go over under what Lamar Jackson's going to do. Hey, I'm just going to go ahead and give you a hint. Probably go over. as of right now. And it's just the best place to bet. And right now, my bookie wants to help out all the listeners of the Just Press Play podcast. If you join now, you can double your first deposit. So as Uncle Tony mentioned at the beginning, it's almost like he knew where I was going. You can double that $100 on your first deposit. Just use the promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR, CHAIR, when you visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid over at MyBookie. All right, the big story, I feel like, coming after week two, quarterbacks, what is it? They're dropped. We mentioned, you know, I think we were all talking before, one of the older quarterbacks was going, we thought maybe you could see a decline, whether it be, you know, a Brady, Rivers, Breeze, whatever it may be. It looks like, I don't know if there's a decline in their performance, but they can't stay healthy. We got a couple of big ones. And the first one I want to get into, because I think it's going to send shockwaves through the NFC, is Drew Brees and that thumb injury that he's got over at the Saints. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have you seen Tony? Is the latest, is he getting the surgery, or have they said?
I think he's getting the surgery.
He was seeing a specialist today or late yesterday. And so I haven't heard if he was going to go ahead and do the surgery. I heard today that he was,
okay. But I thought I did.
I know if you watched him in that game, one, he didn't try for a while to even pick up a ball. And then right after halftime, he went to go pick up a football. I mean, he couldn't even pick up the football, let alone try to throw it. We didn't even see that. And last I saw, expected out at least 6 weeks.
Yep.
So I guess I just want to go straight over to you, Pops. What does that mean for the Saints? And I guess maybe the wide open NFC South now. What does that mean to you for the Saints with Brees being out?
It's very difficult for the Saints. I don't know that, you know, I hadn't seen or I've heard talk about Drew Brees not going downfield this year as much as he has. I assume there's probably some lack of arm strength that's got to start catching up. But the backup there, what's the guy? Who's the backup?
Old Teddy B.
He's not a long ball thrower either. So I think they've still got a lot of weapons on that offensive side. But Drew Brees is the heart and soul of that team. I think it's devastating to the Saints and to their hopes of making it. But that was one of the most contested division conferences. That's a division, right? That would be a division.
That's a division, yeah, right.
That we had. And now, you know, you got Carolina that's got, who knows what's going on with Cam. Tampa Bay, who knows?
Cam's got a foot injury. He might not be starting. Yeah, we don't. Jameis Winston changes every week. Who knows?
Jacksonville.
And the Falcons.
You know, that's the Falcons. Falcons are the other one, right.
And they got a win, but they almost gave it away against the Eagles. I think that division, I don't know who's going to win that division. I think the Saints are probably still the favorites. Mm-hmm. I like where you went with Teddy Bridgewater, where I think he's more of an accuracy guy and not necessarily downfield, which is kind of what Brees has been. But like you said with Brees, he was the extension of Sean Payton on the field and kind of, like you said, the heart and soul of that team. So I'm interested to see where it goes. They're one of those teams, though, that instead of letting Bridgewater leave to go try to get a starting job, they went ahead and paid him, I think, $7 or $8 million to be a backup. So they kept that contingency plan. So, Tony, what do you can Teddy Bridgewater hold the ship, I guess, for the next 6 weeks while Drew Brees is out?
Yeah, and I think he can, and here's why. And first, your point's correct about the NFC South now being pretty wide open. It allows Carolina to actually still have a chance as they try to get Cam Newton healthy.
I mean, Tampa's got a shot now. Honestly, I mean, that defense actually looks decent.
They've got to figure some stuff out, but they have rushed the quarterback well the first couple of weeks. But the thing about New Orleans, we've talked about this before, is they become a run-first team over the last 2 to 3 years. That hasn't changed. What was going on this past Sunday is the Rams' defense was the worst team in the world to have your starting quarterback go down against because they just defend the run so well. Aaron Donald, I know he left the game for a little while, but they are really tough against the run.
He's a man among boys out there.
And I think Alvin Kamara just couldn't get started. Latavius Murray is going to have to really pick up a load now because that's going to have to be 30, 35 carries out of the backfield now with Bridgewater. I will say this about that game Sunday where it will be different this week. Taysom Hill had to be completely taken out of the ball game at that point in time because they had to hold him out because he was the second string quarterback. If they can figure out a game plan to get him back involved, have him running some wildcat, have him back in the H-back slot so they can use his athleticism, I think they'll be fine. The one thing they probably need to do, if they haven't done already, is go out and sign another quarterback and get Brees on that injured reserve list so he can come back in 6 to 8 weeks. But they really need to go get that other quarterback so Taysom Hill can get back in their offense. I think that's what we'll see over the next few weeks is how that plays out.
Well, yeah, and I think you're right on with that, where you're going to see a difference where Sean Payton can plan on Drew Brees being out and have, like, it's one thing. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater, as far as backup quarterbacks go, is probably as good as there is out there, or at least up there for backup quarterbacks.
So.
And it's just different getting thrusted into game. And not only are you getting thrusted in the second quarter, but you're getting against that Rams defense who, I say what you want about Clay Matthews, but he's still got some pass rush on the side. Aaron Donald is a beast. There's guys all over that D. So that's tough. And Wade Phillips is a really good defensive coordinator. But the what I was looking at, and I think where this kind of is interesting to me, is not the NFC South. Yes, I think it's wide open, and I really don't. Like, if you had to pick it today, I think I don't know who you go with. But the Saints schedule coming up, they go at Seattle, 2-0 team, and Seattle's always been a tough place to play. They play the Cowboys at home on Sunday Night Football. The Cowboys look as good as any team in the NFC right now. And then they got a Buccaneers at Jaguars, at Bears. There's some decent defenses coming up. Teddy's going to have to hold the ship. But I think where this gets interesting is any team in the NFC that has Super Bowl aspirations, I don't care what you say, you're watching to see what's going on in New Orleans simply because you want to figure out, are you going to have to play a playoff game in the Superdome? And that's where I think this injury – I still think Teddy Bridgewater can go 500. Breeze can maybe get back. They can win 10 to 12 games, maybe get in the playoffs. But if the Cowboys or the Rams or any team looking for to possibly be the favorites in the NFC, if they can get the home field advantage over the Saints, we've just seen it over and over again. Drew Breeze is not the same guy on the road as he is in the Superdome. And the Superdome is just hard to play in. So I think that's where this could make shockwaves in the NFC.
Do you think it's on the road or do you think it's a dome? I mean,
I think a lot of it has to do with the dome. But also, I think that defense is just different inside. I was hearing Chris Long talk about on the Ryan Russillo podcast. He said the Superdome might be the hardest place to play, that or Seattle. I think it does a lot for Drew Brees and that defense. What were you going to say, Tone?
Kevin, I think you hit it right on the head. If Bridgewater can go 500 over these next six ball games, man, they're winners. I don't think you can get NFC South, the division winner there, could probably come out at 10-6. And win that division right now.
Atlanta
has started. They haven't really shown that much. Carolina certainly same boat. And then Tampa Bay, I just don't see them being able to. I sure am looking more out of that offense than I've seen so far.
Yeah, that's we talked about a little bit last week. Before the season, I was kind of buying all into the Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston stuff. That doesn't look great. But Todd Bowles has that defense playing really well. If maybe they can figure out something with – there's weapons all over the place on that offense if they can figure out Jameis Winston. So who knows? And then the Falcons, if they can figure it out, we still – there's still Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, Devontae Freeman. There's people.
Weapons.
You know, there's guys.
They just can't figure out that you can't spell defense without D. And they're just terrible. That's just – I can't.
And then, speaking of quarterbacks going down, we don't know. Cam Newton may not play. Apparently, he's nursing a foot injury, and it could be Kyle Allen starting at quarterback. So, who knows? And then, but moving on with quarterbacks going down, and I hate that LJ's not here for this, but a quarterback in Pittsburgh has gone down, and Big Ben, it looked like an odd injury. I couldn't really tell what happened, but it seemed pretty quick. I thought maybe it was we were getting typical Big Ben, like he had diarrhea, so he just needed to go to the locker room real quick because he was back on the sideline really fast. But he never returned, and Big Ben is now – last I saw, he's ruling – now, from what I last saw, he was ruling out – not ruling out the possibility of holding off surgery and maybe trying to come back this year. But it sounds like it's a bad injury, and he could be out for the year with his forearm.
I think they put him on season-ending IR. He doesn't have a choice.
I think he's done.
And this is a guy of all the teams with injuries. This is we'll see what happens. And I'll give LJ some props. We're going to get to see right here if Big Ben was the quarterback or Big Ben was the guy throwing the ball to Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. We'll see what Mason Rudolph does. There's been talk that actually in camp Rudolph was throwing the ball better than Roethlisberger was. That's why they cut or traded their other quarterback that really Rudolph really took off in camp.
That
so
traded Dobbs over to the Jaguars.
I think, we'll just see. It gives some comments made in the podcast last week. I think it gives Tomlin an opportunity to show that he actually can coach. We'll see about that. I know Lifford will be disappointed if he does actually show some chops in that area, but I hope he does, Tony.
No, I do hope he can.
And we'll see what happens. Otherwise, it may be the end of the road for Ben and Tomlin. I will say this. Here's my prediction. If Mike Tomlin is fired at the end of this season, if they don't make the playoffs and they let Mike Tomlin go, Big Ben's done. He won't come back.
Well, that's what's interesting. I think this could go, and we might get into this a little. I don't know what this – Big Ben's career, I think, is – this could be the end, the beginning of the end of his career to me, just with how long – but where I wanted to get to, and I think you were kind of touching on it, Tony, is at first – so Monday night on Monday night, the Pittsburgh Steelers traded. So it was odd to me at first to see your quarterback goes down, you're 0-2, and then you trade your first round pick to go get Minkah Fitzpatrick over the Dolphins, who I will say Fitzpatrick's a really good defensive back, solid safety. That's a good trade, but you're 0-2 and your quarterback just went down. We don't know anything about Mason Rudolph. That pick could be top 10. That could be your pick that goes and gets your replacement for Big Ben, unless I think you might be onto something, Tony. I think they must really like Mason Rudolph.
I think so, too.
I mean, if you think
– I think that screams that they're saying, we think Rudolph can carry this and be all right. Because if not, then why would you take the risk in trading your first-round pick?
Although, and Kevin, it does look strange. That's one of the best pickups of the year to this point, because what the Steelers just told everybody right there is we're going to have to play defense, and we're not going to be able to go out and try to outscore people. We've got to make a change. And going and picking up Minkah Fitzpatrick, I think, really gives them the opportunity to make some kind of statement on defense and get better where they can. It's not because I own him in a couple of teams, but I think James Conner now becomes a key to that offense. Can he carry the ball 20, 25 times? Do they have to involve Jalen Samuel? Are they going to ask Mason Rudolph to throw it 18 to 20 times a game and that's it, just manage the best they can and then try to play defense? We'll see. It's going to be tough in that division because they still get to play Baltimore a couple times and see how far Lamar Jackson can throw a football.
It's just funny because, I mean, I really feel like this is the Steelers going, we're betting on our guys. And because I think this could be the moment where you go, oh, James Conner wasn't really that good last year. He just had Antonio Brown taking people out of the box. And maybe Juju Smith-Schuster's not that good. It was Ben Roethlisberger. I think it's just all these guys now. Yeah. It's time to prove it. And I think this is management saying, all right, D, there's some talent over here. Now we got you one more. Let's figure it out. And then it's saying, we really do believe James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster and maybe James Washington. That's the old Oklahoma State boys, him and Rudolph.
Yep.
Maybe they can connect. They've always been good in the preseason. That's why I always buying the hype on damn James Washington. Yeah. It doesn't work out for me.
Yeah.
But hey. I think they're kind of saying, let's go on.
We can't publish this.
Mike Tomlin's the kind of guy where he always gets crapped on because he does this weird thing, and then he always ends up – he's never had a losing season ever. Say what you want about Mike Tomlin. They always end up in the thick of things come playoff season. And I know Dad's going to be – he's always been a Tomlin guy, so he'd love to see him back in the hunt.
Y'all don't go dropping his podcast before or after waivers are over, because James Washington is going to be a big target for me. If he's out there anywhere, we're going to go get him.
What do you think, Dad? Let's the Steelers now. Big Ben's out. Rudolph's coming in. You've kind of heard what we've thought. What is your thoughts either off of what we said, or just do you disagree?
No, I agree, and I've kind of been looking up points against – the Steelers have given up 61 points. So the only other one in the AFC, well, there's two, obviously, the Dolphins have given up 102, and the Bengals are 62, have given up 62 points. And I think there's a couple in the NFC that have given up 63 points. So they, let's see, the Giants and the Redskins, go figure, the Giants anyway. So, yeah, I think you're seeing them. It's going to be defense and run the ball, control the clock, and can Mason Rudolph do it? I'm interested to see if
Rudolph has some guys there. If he don't lose it, Vance McDonald has talent. James Washington, we've talked about the talent. Juju Smith-Schuster, did y'all see he just broke, I think, the fastest receiver. I forget what the yardage was, 2,500 yards. He's the fastest receiver to ever there, beating Randy Moss's record.
Yeah.
There's talent around there if Rudolph can come in and manage the game well. And I will say there's times at Oklahoma State I really thought Rudolph was good. And Tony's right. I do think there was talk in camp where they really liked the way he's throwing it. And I don't know. It almost seemed like this was the Steelers going, maybe this is our chance to move on from Ben Roethlisberger. If Rudolph comes through, takes him to the playoffs, this could be a whole like Dak Romo thing we saw not that long ago where the young guy can kind of finally take the rings. It is interesting to me that Rudolph was the guy they drafted, and then Big Ben was – I'm not going to tutor him. I don't tutor the young quarterback in my replacement. And now it might end up being his replacement. So we'll see.
Be careful what you say.
I think the Steelers are better without Big Ben, and they make some noise and maybe make the playoffs. And I think LJ would never be more happy to be wrong about his playoff pick than that being the case for the Steelers making the playoffs without Big Ben.
Well, because it'd make you right about who we thought they were. Right. Ben Roethlisberger.
He's wrong, but he's right. So. And he's been on this Big Ben thing since we started the pod, so I think he'd love to finally be right. And then, so I said finally be right. It's not like the only thing he's ever been right on. That sounded bad, L. Sorry. The other quarterback, another one going down. Well, he's not hurt. It's just they finally benched Eli Manning, down in New York. Danny Dimes is coming in for the New York Football Giants. And I think if anybody's happy to see that, I hope he can do something for Saquon Barkley, because Barkley looks amazing. The past 2 weeks, he started out the game with a great run and a great drive. And then Eli Manning is Eli Manning, who I don't know why they started him to start the season. Is he done? Is Eli donezo?
Boy, I think so.
No, I don't know. This is a conversation I recorded earlier today from the Manning household. Hello? Yeah, he's in the den. Just a moment. Eli! Coach Coughlin's on the phone.
Are you saying we're going to bench Gardner Minshew? The second, the greatest story to ever be told? I mean,
hey, man. When Gardner Minshew and his Fu Manchu, whatever you call that.
It's mustache. A porn stash, kind of isn't it? I think. Call that.
Besides a porn stash. Okay. I'm trying to think of an exact word for it. Porn stash would be correct. We'll see. I just think it would be fun. Kevin's conspiracy theory last week of, you know, Eli gets the call and leads the Jags to the AFC Championship.
It would be fun to see. But
I just love it. And beat the undefeated.
To be honest, though, I just don't think Eli really has anything left in the tank. I think he's done. I was looking at something. What has Tom Coughlin really done since he's been there at the Jaguars? I really don't. I think he's done nothing but hurt them. Since 2017, they've had Ramsey, AJ Bouye, Malik Jackson all came before Coughlin, and his legacy since he started was retaining Doug Marrone, who we don't know if that's good, extending Blake Bortles to like that $30 million contract, then cutting him, drafting Leonard Fournette instead of Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. That doesn't look too promising. And then signing Nick Foles, who now looks like he's – I don't know what's going to go on with that. And it looks like he might have ran Jalen Ramsey out of town. Jalen Ramsey's demanding a trade. Coughlin really hasn't – it might be time for Coughlin to go is what needs to happen, I think. And unless he calls his boy Eli and somehow that magic's still going. Who knows?
Well, what did you guys think about – was it so Marrone is right. The coach there, right?
Doug Marrone.
What'd you think about his going for two? I liked his going for two, but the play they – why wouldn't you line up with Leonard Fournette with power? I mean, put a fullback in front, double tight end, and just go, we're fixing to blow your damn doors off. If you can stop us, fine. But and I don't think they could have. I think they would have gotten that.
Personally, I didn't like – so there. I loved the stones that Minshew was playing with at that last drive. Like, had the 4th-and-10 where he ran for it. I didn't like taking the ball out of his hand. And if you are going to take the ball out of his hand, yes, Dad, what is Fournette good at? Power. Let's run a power right up the gut. I just don't understand the play call. If you're going to go with shotgun like that and not run your power offense, I think you go, all right, Minshew, make a play.
Then let Minshew have the ball. Yeah, exactly. I thought that was a strange call. I like going for it. I just didn't like the call.
On the Jalen Ramsey thing, we mentioned it. He's demanded a trade or requested a trade, and we'll see what ends up happening. All the tweets out there were joking about Bill Belichick rolling up his sleeves when Jalen Ramsey's requesting a trade. I hope they don't find a way to somehow get Jalen Ramsey. But I understand Ramsey kind of is one of those guys. He's probably tough to deal with a little bit. But he was having a hell of a game. He pretty much, I wouldn't say shut down, because I don't think anyone shuts down DeAndre Hopkins, but DeAndre Hopkins really didn't make any big plays. And then the defense was playing great. And Marrone went over there, and we'll never know what he said, but Marrone went over there and said something. And the way the two other defenders got up real quick to separate the two, I think Marrone must have said something that's a little out of line. And it was funny. I was listening to this, someone talking. They were just talking about players and coaches. Like, it's one thing when players get into a fight, because if they argue, they can kind of clear it up because they know at the end of the day they'll be in the trenches together. But when a coach, like especially the head coach, says something like that, the player can't really come back at him because the coach is making a decision on who plays and who gets cut. So you can't really come back. You just have to take it. And that's – I don't know what was said, but I don't know if I would have tried to run Jalen Ramsey out of town. He's as good as it gets as far as corners. I think he's the best out there.
Yeah,
it's interesting. There's a scene in Bull Durham where I think I know what he said to him. You check that out.
That you just can't say. It's off limits.
Say to a guy that you can't say. He must have said it. Yeah. Yeah. I'll let y'all figure that. We might have.
Well, it must be early in the pot if Tony's watching what he says right now. If we're still censoring.
No kidding.
Yeah. Give me, My gin drank's only halfway down.
We mentioned it a little bit, staying in Florida, and we mentioned earlier talking about the Minka Fitzpatrick trade, and I just want to touch on it. I don't want to talk a lot of Dolphins, but do you think Brian Flores knew what he was signing up for when he took that job?
Well, let me just tell you something. I looked at the Miami Dolphins.
Is it their picks?
They have the most cap space of any team for 2020. They have three first-round draft picks in 2020, and they have two in 2021.
Do you want me to tell you? Here's their draft capital. There's their draft capital in general. So they got three first in 2020, like you said. There's the Steelers and the Texans. They have their second and the Saints second in this draft. And then they have two picks in each of the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. So they got a ton of picks in the 2020 draft. And then in 2021, they got their first and the Texans first and their second and the Texans second and some comp picks in the later round. So they got a ton of picks. As a basketball fan, I've watched this. And even with watching the Browns, usually whoever does the tanking, it can pay off and you can end up with a lot of talent. But someone ends up losing their job for it, whether it be Sashi Brown over at the Browns or Sam Hinkie at the 76ers. You can't lose that many games and someone retain their job because they're going to lose them. I don't know if they'll score another touchdown. I mean, they will, but they looked abysmal. That looks like a high school team out there playing. And what I don't think it's different. Can you tank? You can tank in basketball because you're not asking guys to go bash their head in and go get manhandled. You're asking these guys to go out there and lay their future lives on the line. We talked about the NFL and how it affects your health. And now you're asking these guys to go out there completely overmatched. I don't know. I just don't like tanking in the NFL. It's tough.
Yeah,
I don't either. And not this early. Good Lord. It's the second game. They've scored 10 points far this year.
I hope their retirement plan's good for Fitzpatrick getting that job down there because he's just getting beat nonstop. I wouldn't want to be a quarterback behind that line right now.
Yeah, and I'll say this. You can go back, and there's some NFL films on the first year of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when John McKay took that team over.
And those, was it the orange unis, the creamsicle uniforms?
Awful. Just, yes. Yeah. Yeah, the creamsicle uniforms, and they were awful. I think these Dolphins are pretty close. They're pretty close. And just, man, they are
not good. Yeah, I just don't.
They're just not good.
I don't know when they're going to be.
And it's a shame.
Ready to go, or when they're going to be able to put up any points. But you know, do you remember the days where maybe you weren't always ready to go, or a day where you couldn't get it up? Well, we want to tell you about our friends over at Blue Chew. If you're looking for a way to increase your performance and get that extra confidence, listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. And the best part, you can take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach or an empty stomach. And since they are chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. And if you could benefit from some extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is offering a special deal for our listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the pod. All right. After week two, we got some teams that are we got a few teams that are 0-2. I think we have 9 teams that are 0-2 to start the year. And I was looking at this article on oddshark.com, and they were noting that since 2007, 98 teams have started 0-2, and only 12 have turned it around to make the playoffs. That equals 12.2%. So if history repeats itself, just one of the 9 teams that started 0-2 will still make the playoffs. And here's the list we got: the Jets, the Dolphins, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Giants, the Redskins, and the Panthers. So I'll start with you, Pops. One of those teams, or if you think there's multiple, do you think any of these teams turn around and make the playoffs?
I think the only two that have a chance are Carolina and Jacksonville. And I think it's Carolina is, I think, the overwhelming choice in my opinion. And that is completely related to Cam Newton's health. If he can get well, I think they've got the tools there. I think they got a good coach. They got a good defense. They've got a hell of a running back. So I think it's Carolina. I think Jacksonville not getting Eli Manning. I do like that Minshew kid. I really do. Maybe if Nick Foles comes back. But Carolina of those teams would be my pick of who possibly.
I just get nervous with them because Cam Newton doesn't seem. I was really thinking we'd get a healthy, like, back to maybe not MVP numbers, but at least the Cam Newton we remember. And something just looks off with that. And now McCaffrey looks great. Like you said, that running back looks fantastic. And I do think there's talent on the defense, but something's just not right with Cam. So that I'm a little nervous with him. Tony, what do you think? Is one of those teams? Are you kind of agreeing with Pops there?
Yeah, I agree with the Panthers pick. You know, there's still a lot of talent on the offense side of that football. I think that seeing, you know, what McCaffrey can do this second time around, Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore are both really good wide receivers, and we don't want to discount our if Greg Olsen stays healthy, that's a really good set of receivers out there. And but again, I think they are.
There it goes.
Fuck on the defense, man. I'm just telling you, they're Luke Kuechly is
one more concussion
away from eating nothing but Melba toast and Nutella. You know, I'm just a real concern about defensively if they can stand up now. And as with Tampa Bay's improvement, the Atlanta offense, even New Orleans can smash mouth them, and we saw that. I'm concerned about them, but if Cam Newton's healthy, that offense can score some points. I'm with you there. I'm actually thinking that of those 0-2 teams, the one that maybe have the better chance is actually the Steelers. If Mason Rudolph, as we talked earlier, if he's actually able to throw the ball and throw it effectively, then I think they've got a good chance, because as talented as Carolina is, we just talked about, the Steelers offensively are just as talented. And with Minka Fitzpatrick, as we talked, I think they've all of a sudden got a shutdown corner that allows them to possibly hang with.
Well, y'all are kind of hitting on the two teams I was thinking. One team I circled I would be picking, and I'm sorry, LJ, I would be picking the Broncos, but who would have thought? Joe Flacco's washed. We knew this when he got benched last week. I know this will become a shocker if John Elway's listening, but you need a little more than just being 6'7" with a rocket arm. I think you need a little bit more. I thought we learned that with the Brockett Osweiler over there, but I think Flacco holds him back. Everywhere else on that roster, I like what they have at running back. I like what they have at some receivers. Their defense, I think, could be good. I just don't like Joe Flacco, so I don't see them doing it. And then Panthers scared me with Newton's injury. I think I'm with Tony. I think the Steelers, if Mason Rudolph comes in and he can be good enough, I think there's talent around him. That defense has talent. I don't know why you're right, Dad. They've been awful the first 2 weeks, as you mentioned earlier. But they went and got Devin Bush early. He's a young linebacker, and he's kind of the leader of their defense. So maybe there's some growing pains. And then if they can shore up the back end, Pittsburgh always has a pass rush with whoever it is. Just insert whoever they have on the edge right now. It's T.J. Watt. I think the Steelers could do it. And I don't think that division's as good as the Browns still. I know the Browns got a big win against the Jets. They won big, but that was more – I think the Jets looked abysmal. The Browns still look undisciplined. They don't score points when they need to. Baker Mayfield still, he's not looking as sharp as I want him to. And maybe they figure that out, but they got a tough schedule coming up, so they better figure it out soon.
Baker Mayfield's accuracy, which is his big deal, was on display last night. Wow.
It is. Yeah. Boy, Lifford's right on target, and Baker is not right on target.
He had like three.
I've watched him for these first two ball games. He is missing everything high. I mean, he cannot get the ball to come.
There
down
was one where targets. Odell Beckham was wide open, and he overthrew Jarvis Odell Landry. Beckham
wide open.
It's just threw it right over his head, and Jarvis Landry almost, you know, lost a kidney.
Yeah, and then he did get Njoku hurt because he threw it over
Baker. Yeah, he got Njoku hurt. Yep. So I don't know what's going on. I was listening to someone speaking about it, and they were interested in that. Baker's making a lot of 5 to 7 step drops in the offense right now, and they're kind of wondering if that's different for him. Maybe trying to get Odell Beckham on some moves and get him deeper. But when he's the touchdown pass he had last night, the 85-yarder was a quick 3-step drop slant. So perhaps Baker's more comfortable with those quick throws and getting the ball out quicker. But, man, he is missing everything high. And I don't know if that's they've messed with his delivery. If
I kind of wonder,
maybe he had one too many Bluetooths. I don't know.
I kind of wonder. Man, they do seem like they look like the prototypical team that bought too much into their own hype in the offseason. And there was a lot of hype, but I think it's rightfully so. There's talent. If you watch Monday night, I'd understand Myles Garrett needs to kind of get it figured out. There's some silly plays he made as far as his offsides and his unnecessary roughness, but he's a monster on the defensive end. And they got guys all around there that I think the defense could be decent. I think you're right, Tony. They're trying to get too creative on offense. They got all these weapons, and Freddie Kitchens wants to be real creative. How about you got a badass running back in Nick Chubb? Let's get him going. And you're not going to have to feed Odell Beckham. He'll find a way to get open. Like I said, you threw a slant and he went for 89 yards. He'll find a way to get his. I think they got too fancy. They need to go back to the drawing board and go, all right, what makes Baker best? Okay, let's do that. And the other guys, Landry, Beckham, Chubb, they'll be good if you just give them the ball on open field. They'll be good.
Get on the ball. Get on the ball. Yeah, and one of the worst things in football you can be is a rookie head coach. And I think that's going to be tough. All the stuff about how Freddie knows Baker and he performed well for him as the
OC. It's different when you're the OC and when you're the head coach.
It's a whole different ball game when you're OC and the head coach. So we'll see how that plays out down the stretch. But I think Cleveland's slow start gives Pittsburgh the opportunity to get back into it. And we can Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think they're going to put up like Andy Dalton's going to end up putting up some numbers because I think they're going to be down by 20. Yeah, well, because I think they're going to be down by 3 touchdowns a lot late. And
When San Francisco can run for 280 or 300 something yards on you,
and
man, you're bad.
More reason to pick the Steelers in my estimation was I do think the Ravens are great, and I think Lamar Jackson looks awesome. But we've watched scrambling quarterbacks, whether it be Mike Vick or RG3, it only takes one hit. And I guess they have RG3 speaking of behind them, so maybe they'll be fine. But we don't know. We don't know. 2 weeks, we just don't know yet. I'm not ready to say like the Ravens are 12-win Super Bowl favorites or anything.
Bite your tongue, young man. Lamar
I hope
Jackson's
so. With them being on some fantasy rosters. All right.
Oh, you need to stop that.
We will see.
Let's get into the segments we do every week for the NFL season. And we'll get into starting off on our bye segment of the week. And since we didn't get to hear from you last week, Tony, we're going to start off with you. Who are you buying this week?
I've got two picks here. So. The first one I'm buying is the Green Bay Packers. Regardless of what Aaron Rodgers is doing, he may be coming more of a game management, but their defense has been phenomenal for 2 weeks in a row, and they have won two very tough ball games. And to come out of the chute 2-0, playing those two teams, I think really puts them ahead in that division. So I'm going to buy the Green Bay
I like that pick. I mean, I do like the defense looks really good, and I understand people kind of going, could Aaron Rodgers be washed? I don't think he is. He'll get it. Him and LaFleur can get it figured out. And if he has that good a defense, I'm nervous. I don't like giving that good a quarterback that good a defense.
Yeah.
Hey, just looking.
Yeah, that's the deal.
There's only one team giving up less points than the Packers, and that's the Patriots. Who've only given up three, by the way. But the Packers have only given up 19.
Yeah,
and that is
the
a hell
two
of a
guys. I
there.
Love where Green Bay, they went and got Mike Pettine, who maybe he wasn't a good head coach, but he's looks like he has that defense rolling. And then going and signing Zadarian and Preston Smith. They're not actually brothers, but I know they're getting called the Smith brothers. And given that they went and paid him a lot of money, I think combined like $80 million or something, and they are just looking fantastic on the field.
Yep.
Yeah, that's been a really good – now, I'm not sure if Green Bay was that good or Chicago's that bad. Sorry, LJ, but man, they really manhandled that the Bears vaunted offense and then held Minnesota down.
I like that pick. Who, you said you got another buy this week?
Yeah, so I subscribe to this service, Prestige Worldwide, and they're telling me that I needed to buy the Indianapolis Colts. They're all over Jacoby Brissett, that he's the real deal. He's on pace for a 40 TD, 8 INT season, and he's buying the Colts weak division and taking it to the house. They've had two tough matchups. Their matchups get a lot easier over the next down the stretch here, the next 5-6 ball games. So,
well, I'm gonna go next, Pops, because I was worried this could happen with Tony having two. me and Prestige Worldwide must be right on the same wavelength, because I don't know if it's as much that I'm buying the Colts. I'm all in on Frank Reich. I think he is a great coach. And I just think if it wasn't for Adam Vinatieri completely falling off a cliff, they're 2-0 right now with two wins coming on the road, one on the West Coast against the Chargers team, I think is pretty good, and the other against the division rival last week beating the Titans. Vinatieri on the year is 1-for-3 on field goals and 2-for-6 on extra points. And he did – he had a press conference where – and a lot of people were assuming this was going to be him retiring, and I was just looking up to make sure. He says he's not retiring just yet, but he's trying to get, quote, demons out of his head. So we'll see. He's one of the best kickers of all time. I mean, he's probably – he's a Hall of Fame kicker. And I
– oh, he is a Hall of Fame kicker.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. They did try out five.
I bet they did.
Today. So the Colts had five kickers in camp trying out. So wouldn't be surprised if come Thursday morning, Adam Vinatieri is.
We'll see. From what I gather, it sounds like out of respect to Vinatieri, since he's not retiring yet, because I think he was going to. They're going to give him one more week. But like you said, they're trying out kickers. I think they got his replacement ready to roll.
I would think that. If you don't retire on Monday and they bring five kickers in on Tuesday, I think they're telling you, Adam, bud, look,
but
just retire.
I think,
but we'll see. We'll
but
see.
In general, though, like kind of piggybacking off what you were saying, Tone, a lot of people had they remember Brissett on the year where they literally traded for him right before the season started because they realized Luck might not play all year and he didn't have that great of a year. But this year, Brissett looks really competent and looks like a solid. I don't know if he's like great. But he still looks like a solid quarterback, and I don't think he has to be great on that team. It was what made the Luck retirement so odd. There's talent everywhere on that roster. Mack looks like a pretty solid running back. They got some tight ends, Ebron and Doyle. The receivers, I don't know for sure. I mean, T.Y. Hilton, and then Funch is getting hurt. I know they're relying on some rookies, so we'll see. But then defensively, they were good all year last year, and I think they're just as good this year. If Brissett just plays solid, and I didn't realize the pace you were saying is on, but I did look. I think he had like 3 touchdowns and 1 pick last week and 2 touchdowns a week before. So, I mean, he's playing fine. They just need to find a way to make their freaking extra points. Maybe they should just go for 2 every time. I don't know, but I agree. I like him, AFC South is up for grabs. I think they could easily win the AFC South because I just don't know about the Texans. Yeah. And then the Titans, I've never trusted the Titans and Mariota. And then Jax, who knows? But I'm with Prestige Worldwide. I'm with him. He's right on. Jacoby Brissett. Gonna win it. Pops, what about you? Who are you buying this week?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and buy the Baltimore Colts. The Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens. That's sorry. They were
in 2019.
You
got caught.
I'm going to split that middle. Good job.
Well, I got to looking, and
it's a lot of good to look
Lamar
at.
Lamar Jackson. So he's throwing, his completion percentage is 72%, which puts him about 5th in the league. Now, I mean, all the names in front of him you'd know except for Gardner Minshew, who's, you know, probably got a little bit less of a data set. Now, he's got 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He's thrown for almost 600 yards. The only other two guys that have 7 touchdowns are Dak Prescott, and I know you know the other name, Patrick.
Who's that guy?
Mahomes.
I haven't heard of him before.
Yeah, he's they're fitting him for his gold jacket.
As LJ
already,
would say, once in a generation talent.
Flash in the pan.
Hey, Mahomes is amazing. There is no doubt. He seems like a great kid. I'm not trying to get off on him, but he seems like a great kid.
Yeah.
Hell of a talent. But
yeah,
I
haven't been able to say his name for 48 hours. I think I've cleared it now after he trashed me for 57 points this weekend.
And
he did it all in one quarter. But yeah, Dad, I do agree. I know LJ's not a fan of buying. He likes to buy them when they're low. But like you said, it's always good getting them at a profit. The Ravens look good. Those numbers, I'm no expert, but just here's some analysis for you. They look good. That offense looks good. Lamar Jackson looks fine. Mark Ingram's good. I guess those receivers, Hollywood Brown.
Mark Andrews looks good.
Yeah.
Marquise
Brown. The only caveat to the Ravens right now is
I was going to say, look at who they played.
Dolphins and the Cardinals. And
that's true.
Now, I'm going to save a comment for the end because I got something because they've got a a cool game coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so. Well, that I'm glad you mentioned. We will get in that game because that game is the one that I've circled on this week's schedule. Moving on to the who we thought they were this week. Pops, do you want to just we'll kind of snake draft it? You'll just go back if you're ready.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to go like LJ did last year. I'm going to go with a player. And the player that is who I thought he was is Russell Wilson. He is just solid as a rock. He is a guy that I'd love to be my quarterback. Let's see. He's got a 78% completion percentage, higher than Lamar Jackson. He's got 495 yards, 5 TDs, 0 interceptions. If they'll let that offense run through Russell Wilson, I don't know how far they can go. Russell Wilson's who I thought he was. Solid, dependable, really
You're
talented.
So right. And it's every year. It seems like I before the season starts, I look at that roster and I think, I don't know. They're losing some guys on defense and they lost Doug Baldwin. I don't know if they can do it. And I always forget, wait a minute, they do have maybe a top three quarterback, maybe higher, maybe two. Russell Wilson's really good and he'll win you a lot of games you have no business winning. And it looks like he's doing it again this year. They're sitting at 2-0.
Yep.
I easily could see them making the playoffs. What do you think? Do you like that pick, Tone?
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong picking Seattle to do anything. And so I'm with that. They've got another comment later, but DK Metcalf is
you know, everyone made fun of that draft pick because he was just, a workout warrior, but he looks like a player. And Tyler Lockett looks like he's
hardy har har. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, they're looking
Russell
good.
Wilson's a solid pick. Sticking on quarterback, on who we thought they were, then I wish LJ was here so I could mention this just for him. But we talked about that, the Packers defense, but we didn't talk about that abysmal quarterback play from the guy that plays for the Vikings. That's what $84 million guaranteed dollars is going to get you. Kirky Poo was terrible. He was awful, but I'm not going to get on. I'm not going to get too much on him because we did that last week, and I thought about going with the Texans once again because did you see that Deshaun Watson is already making history? After last week, he is tied for the most consecutive games being sacked 4+ times, with 8 straight games being sacked more than 4 times. That is ridiculous. But no,
Is he tied with David?
Oh,
Carr?
Who was? Well, no, David Carr still I think might hold the record for most
the other
sacks.
Quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to touch that.
No, I think David Carr gets some like PTSD just watching that quarterback for the Houston Texans getting hit so much. But the team I'm going to go with who they thought they were. It actually I think it could be Jimmy G and the 49ers are finally Mike Shanahan might have that team as who we thought they were. They might just be a good football team. I think that they're 2-0. They are coming off a 41-17 win against, like Tony said, the Bengals are. They might be bad. They might be really bad. But Garoppolo was near he threw for 70% completion percentage, 300 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And like father, like son, Shanahan has a run game where I don't know who's going to be lining up at running back each week, but they're probably going to go for 200 yards because it just – there's something about that scheme. And last week, like Tony said, they went 42 carries for 259 yards and 6 yards per carry. If they can run the ball, if Garoppolo is healthy, their defense – I know Tony doesn't like a Bosa, but they have put a lot of draft equity into that defensive line with Bosa and DeForest Buckner and then signing Dee Ford from the Chiefs. And then I really hope – this is the team – I really hope makes a trade for Jalen Ramsey. I think he could change things in the NFC. If they go get Ramsey, they already have Sherman at the other side. I know Sherman's a little aging, but if you have him as your second corner, they interest me. And I think maybe, just maybe, because I was all on Jimmy Garoppolo last year, and I think along with everybody, we were thinking, Shanahan's going to have them turned around. And they just were bitten with the injury bug. So I think this year, if they can stay healthy, I kind of like the 49ers.
That's not bad.
Tone, who are you? Who is for you this week? Who is who you thought they were?
Well, I am going with a player, and it is going to be Le'Veon Bell. Here's a guy has 130-something yards from scrimmage on a terrible team, 10 receptions, but he's just a hoss. He's out there every play.
He literally, week one, I don't know if he did week two, but week one he played every single snap.
No. Yeah, Ty Montgomery was out there a little bit on Monday night. But, Lev Bell has come back, and he is who we thought he was. He is a full-bore, three-down running back who can carry an offense. If the Jets can somehow figure out to how to keep their quarterbacks alive, and from kissing the wrong people, they'll be, you know, they could be a 500.
Well, that's very, that's so Jets of them to have a quarterback get mono.
Is something interesting.
It was so, but yeah. I do want to.
From Demaryius Thomas, no less, right?
Bill Belichick's always up to something.
Bill Belichick says.
I'm glad you brought up Le'Veon Bell, because that team looked abysmal last night, and it would have been easy just to give up and quit. But Le'Veon Bell, even when they were down at one point, I think 27-3 in the fourth quarter, he still was like breaking tackles. There was a cut.
He was playing.
Spin move he put on somebody that just put him in the spin cycle, jumped over someone. Le'Veon Bell, he got a lot of slander for the way he handled last week, and a lot of it was because fantasy owners took him in the first round and then he didn't play. But he's just, like you said, Tony, he's one of, if not the best runner. I don't know if he's the best running back, but he's right there. He's up there. He's just a really good player.
We'll see how the season plays out, but he's top five running.
Which is a perfect segue into our next segment of the playoffs, because that's who I'm going with, the Jets. The J-E-T-S, Jets are the team that I say, Will, that there's no, I'm crossing them off the list. And it's not even necessarily their fault. I think the injury bug's getting them. You saw, like you mentioned, with Darnold and his mono, and then that injury to Trevor Siemian. He ended up walking off the field, which was amazing because I thought he like snapped an ankle. And then poor Luke Falk got in there and just was getting crushed too. Like they got it. I don't know if they can keep a quarterback upright. And if you can't throw, it's going to be hard for Le'Veon Bell to run, even though he did last week.
Yeah. Did you see Falk's stats?
No, I didn't.
Did you see? He was, now, honestly, he was 20 for 24. I think it was 20 for 24, but it may have been for like, 20 for 25 for 80 yards.
So it was just,
I missed it. Yeah, he did. It was 20 for 25, and it was actually, I misread that. It was like 100 something yards. Yeah. But can you imagine that? He was just like, here they come. Drop
after
off.
After two hits from Myles Garrett, he thought, screw this. I'm throwing the ball quick. I'm not holding on to this sucker.
I'm done. Peace out. But, God, that was just hilarious to watch.
Yeah, I just think Adam Gase is not the best head coach in the world. I'm worried about the injury bug they got going. And then I saw that Jamal Adams, who I really love on defense, and who knows, this is the generation we're in now. He has since unfollowed the Jets on Instagram and took them out of his bio. I don't know what that means, but
hey, I will say this. I did like their uniforms. That black and green looked
pretty
good.
It is kind
good.
Of a sharp look. I don't like the uniforms they wore week one, but I did like those last night. I thought that was a sharp look.
Yeah, and if there's any way, they could make Joe Willie Namath their mascot so he could be on the sidelines every game, that'd be awesome. And have him mic'd up and just shut Booger off. and let Joe Willie just go to town.
Joe Pops that's the infamous, I just want to kiss you.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's him.
Yeah,
he's quit drinking now.
Speaking of Susie Colbert, she has aged like fine wine. She is still gorgeous.
Let's not get started.
we might be one cup.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Oh, that was going to make a joke, but we're going to.
I would not disagree.
We're going to let that one slide. Pops, who are you crossing off your playoffs list?
You know, I hate to do this to help. It seems like we're picking on LJ a little bit, but I'm crossing Denver off my playoff list. I just don't see it happening. I do not see the Broncos making the playoffs. So I'm just crossing.
Does it have a lot?
And I think you're right. It's quarterback play, but they're just not going to make it. And you said something earlier, Elway. If I watched LJ Elway most of his career, and Elway was a rifleman. He didn't learn touch until the last few years of his career, and that's when he had some success because his deal was drop back, and I mean put a frozen rope into you every time, and you've got to have touch on the ball. And I don't know that Flacco has a good deep ball. He does have some touch on some deep balls, but he
I don't know. I've never thought – I thought that Super Bowl was more of a fluke than it was him being an elite quarterback.
You didn't just say that Super Bowl.
It wasn't. So it's,
now you talking about Flacco's or you talking about
no
Elway's?
Flacco's? Not Elway's. Not Elway's.
Oh,
not,
okay.
No,
I thought you were talking about the Broncos.
I thought Tony.
Was
I thought Tony was going the other way.
So, but
the gauntlet is down.
But here's
now,
the thing with Elway: I think we've mentioned it a couple of times. I don't know how good of a GM he is. There's talent on that roster. I think the problem is evaluating the quarterback position, and it kind of goes back to what we've talked about this before, Pops, with MJ at the Bobcats, or I guess they're the Hornets or whatever now in Charlotte. But I just think when you're that good of a player, it's hard for – when you were that good as a player, it's hard for you to evaluate that position because you just don't understand why can these guys not do what I'm doing. Well, it's because John Elway might be one of the top five quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Yeah.
Look, I would say this. If we're going to talk
– I'm sorry, LJ. I know this is breaking his heart.
And I know this is not going to be go well, but I'm going to say it anyway. So who's a better GM, John Elway or Jerry Jones?
Well, I think now with Stephen Jones, I would say Stephen Jones. It does seem like they've done well in the recent years.
John Elway has won a Super Bowl since the Cowboys.
But also the Cowboys lucked into the position that matters. We've seen it is quarterback. And I will say the Cowboys lucked into Dak Prescott if he's as good as he looks so far. Because if you remember, they did not want Dak Prescott. But you know who stole their quarterback was John Elway, stole Paxton Lynch in the first round. So neither one of them are good at judging quarterbacks. Just luckily for Jerry, John Elway beat him to Paxton Lynch.
Well, he had his quarterback chosen until the dude got drunk and walked into somebody else's house and sat down.
Are we talking Chad Kelly here? So Swag Kelly?
Chad Kelly. So he had his quarterback and then, you know, until that little incident. Now Chad's at the Colts, I believe, isn't he?
I think he is. I think the Broncos would be better off if they still had Case Keenum. I don't know why they let him go.
I don't either. Yep.
Joe Flacco's tall and got a big arm. All right, Tony, who are you going with for crossing off your playoffs? And you can't say the Dolphins.
Well, I can't say the Dolphins.
No, you can't. Yeah, that's too easy. We actually crossed them off week one as a group. We said we couldn't say the Dolphins because that's too easy.
Well, I do want to – I was going to say Jets, but now that I'm thinking about it, and I really want Luke to use the force and get them in the playoffs. So I'm going to say the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, the Bungles.
So they're going to be fun to watch because – people are going to be flying down the field on both sides there. I've watched a little bit of their games, not a whole lot, but Dalton is slinging a football and John Ross is actually
looks decent.
Like
he
knows what football is
AJ Green will be back somewhat soon, right?
AJ Green will be back, but they're going to lose a lot of games, 55 to 40, 37 to 35, but they're going to lose them. And so I'm the Bengals. Are
well, and I think
there's no way that they can compete in that.
And I don't think they want to win too many games because I think they're ready. Andy Dalton's not a bad player, but he's not your franchise guy. And I think the new head coach over there with Zach Taylor wants to get his guy.
I'll say this. Watch out for Andy Dalton. This could be one of those sneaky guys that all of a sudden hits a system late in his career where he can kind of resurrect himself and move and get four or five more years out because – just for right now, I think Dalton fits this system, and he sure as hell didn't fit Marvin Lewis's system. But I think anybody could fit Sean McVay. But I think that this could be something that keeps him around for four or five years and allows the Bengals to build around that and not have to go spend money next year on a first round.
So you're saying keep an eye on the Red Rocket. All right.
Keep an eye on Red Jesus. Yep.
And so that gets to our playoff stuff. I wanted to, as we kind of wrap up, we don't have to have one of each, but just kind of the good, bad, and the ugly for this past week. I'll go ahead and start. I have a quick good. And my good, just so LJ's not completely depressed, my good is Emmanuel Sanders. In December of last year, Sanders at age 31 tore his Achilles, an injury that can take up to 12 months for pro athletes to recover. And has been known to threaten the careers of a lot of athletes 30 plus. And Sanders actually looks better this year. He caught a touchdown in each of the last 2 weeks and then caught the game, what looked like it could have been the game clinching touchdown and 2-point conversion last week. Just shout out to him for recovering from that injury really quick and looking really solid. I'm just happy to see him. And I've always kind of liked Sanders. He just seems like never heard anything bad about him. Just seems to always come out and play. So that's my good. It's just seeing him back healthy, playing good. Pops, do you have anything from the past week that's kind of
I have an ugly and I have an interesting. So I'm going to give you the ugly first.
An ugly and an interesting. Okay.
The ugly is, for God's sake, Bradley Chubb's roughing
perfect
the
segue,
passer
yeah.
penalty on Mitch Trubisky was ridiculous.
Bad.
Absolutely. The ball's still in his hands. The ball is still in the quarterback's hands when Chubb hits him. That was a horrible.
And it wasn't even that crazy of a hit. What do you? What is he supposed to do? Like levitate?
It wasn't that. Yeah, and I think they also. I think they had him in a fourth down again. So I don't know that that was the play that made the game, but it did give them some.
No,
life.
But it sure did help move the ball 15 you know, yards with the clock stopped.
And I just thought that was ugly, ugly, ugly. I couldn't stand that.
Which, by the way, can we just mention, though, the end of that game in general was ugly? Like, not only that penalty, but then that. So the Broncos were going to go for two to win it. I like having the fortitude to go for two. But then they get a delay of game. So then they're like, all right, crap, now we got to kick the extra point. But then they
missed the extra point.
They missed the extra point. Then the Bears went off sides. So they get another shot to go for two. Oh, it was terrible. And then to see that, it had to be heartbreaking to see that loss because – that, like you said, that Chubbs play with 31 seconds, that was just a dumb, dumb, dumb call.
Yeah.
Bad call.
Yeah, it was even worse to watch when you had the Bears minus three. Kick the damn extra point so we can go to overtime, please.
Gosh, and just to go to ferment what you're saying on the ugly, the refs in general, blowing the whistle early, and this might be what someone's going to mention, but since we're on the ugly and the refs, just in general, the refs, blowing the whistle on that fumble in the Jared Goff in the Saints game, where Jared Goff maybe fumbled, maybe it was a fumble clearly, but the refs thought it might have been an incomplete pass. And so instead of letting Cam Jordan fly down the field going 89 yards in a game that was at the time tied 3-3, the ref blew the whistle. How many times do we have to see this? Let's not blow the whistle. You can review it, and if you decide it's incomplete, we can go back. But when you blow the play dead, now that touchdown's nullified. It just. The refs got to be better than this. I don't understand how we have this discussion every year with the refs stinking, but that's just tough. And it was tough to see the Saints get screwed with another call. But, Ed, what was your interesting this week?
Well, I don't know if y'all noticed this, but, you know, Kansas City plays Baltimore this weekend. And interestingly enough, Kansas City claimed offensive lineman Greg Sarrett off of waivers from Baltimore this week.
Playing a little chess over here. Okay.
That is a Belichick move. Watch
it
out.
It is. I thought that was pretty interesting. Coinky dink.
So here's a $10,000 check. Show us your playbook.
That is the game. That game I'm really interested in.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned, that's going to be awesome. I cannot wait for that ball game.
When is that game? Do you know? Is that
it's noon? It's a freaking noon game.
Oh, I guess they can't move it yet.
Yeah, uh-huh. They can't move it. They can't flex it yet. We're not in the flex schedule. But that should be a phenomenal game. That could either be the AFC Championship game or, for that matter, the divisional, because we can't forget about the Patriots. This will probably
the
tell
Chiefs,
us who.
Ooh, the Chiefs right now are favored by 6.5, which is at Arrowhead. So, I can maybe see that.
Arrowhead. And they should be. I mean, Baltimore should lose.
But this will tell you something.
But this will tell you something. If they have it close and it's a ball game, then I think that we'll see if Baltimore's for real or not. But I'm really this could be one of the best ball games of the year. It really could.
I know Tony probably doesn't want to hear this because it sounds like this torched him on his fantasy football matchup this week. But can we just for a second talk about that second quarter for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? That was unreal.
Oh my God.
Like I blinked. I took like I went to go pee and I came back and they had 28 points. Like I was looking at it. In the final four drives in the second quarter, they had the ball for 10 minutes, 23 plays, and had 300 yards and 28 points. I mean, it was just like every time you look back, the Red Zone channel was like, crazy. Oh, Patrick Mahomes throws another one deep. Oh, Patrick Mahomes to DeMarcus Robbins. And the guys we haven't heard of yet. Like, I know Mecole Hardman's supposed to be one of those guys, but DeMarcus Robinson, I don't know who that is, but he's now torching you.
Yeah. So, I know my neighbors heard me because I was out here on my back porch watching the game. And they knew that Oakland needed to put a safety deep. And I knew that Oakland needed to put a safety deep. But apparently, John Gruden didn't figure out.
Well, unfortunately, he couldn't.
Safety deep because they burnt you four times, you dumbass. Put a safety deep. Put two safeties deep.
One of them got called back. Mecole Hardman had one touchdown that got called back.
Yeah. I mean, it's what? What about this are you not seeing? Don't run man-to-man and put a safety deep. It's just that simple. It's just – and okay, I'll give them twice. Oh, that was a good pass. Oh shit, the dinging. I better pay attention. Four in the sink. That's just ridiculous.
Well, and
absolutely
to their
ridiculous.
Credit, though, it's not like you could have watched film and realized that Patrick Mahomes' head offense is explosive.
Well, yeah. Yeah. We're in the film room. We're in the film room for an hour and a half. How many times did Patrick Mahomes throw deep? Oh, by just a couple. So he's already gotten the one. Oh, shit, he's got two. Well, he's not going to throw deep now again. Oh, I guess we better. That's just ridiculous. I mean, that offense and Mahomes, and it's just amazing. It just all credit to Patrick Mahomes. But come on, man. Would you just put a safety deep? Jeez up, Pete. Anyway.
Well, do you have
– There's my rant.
Well, and that might be your bad or ugly, but do you have any good, bad, or ugly you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I do. I've got a good, bad, and an ugly because I, you know, when I come on the podcast, I want to try to be prepared, you know, and help out wherever I can. I'm no LJ, but I try to do my best. Not that I'm wrong most of the time, but I do try, you know, to be correct. So
I remember someone on the podcast. Someone was slandering your name on this podcast.
No. Anyway. No. What that person was trying to
what
say.
What happened was.
No.
What
the saying was is that Tony's not often wrong. He's just wrong a lot more than he thinks he is.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably true. Anyway, so my good was I believe that there is actually now a quarterback playing for the Razorbacks. So
Starkinsaw.
That's good. I like it. Doesn't mean we're going to win a bunch of games, but we've actually got a quarterback.
At least it's actually fun to see the offense come on the field.
He actually can throw a football. I haven't seen that since Tyler Wilson. So he's really thrown the ball well. And then the bad the ability to replay pass interference. It's two games and I'm tired of it. It's just ridiculous. They throw the red flag. They're not overturning it. I don't know why you're throwing it. You're not going to get it. Only when it's blatant. If there's a 1 second difference between the time the guy smacks him and the time the guy ball gets there and you didn't call it, throw the flag. But this is just ridiculous. It's bad.
You know what
it's
I'm worried this really rule comes bad. To? And this could end up being like the rule. What was it? Was it last year, the roughing the passer rule that they kind of curbed once it was awful the first few weeks? I just worried this could happen where late in the, like in the, towards the end of the second half, why wouldn't you, if you're a coach, just chunk, or maybe late, I don't know, at times just chunk one up every now and then, just chunk it into a big crowd. Throw the red flag and just see if you can't get – because once you see it in like slow motion replay, like you said, Tony, maybe a guy did hit him a split second early or something. I don't know.
But they're not – and the thing about that, Kevin, is they're not calling it. They're not going to call that if it's borderline. And it's just it's just slowing the game. I hate it. It's bad. It's really bad.
I agree.
And so my ugly is the whole Antonio Brown situation. So – the whole thing, it's going to get ugly. Anytime there's blood in the water, now we're going to see this person saying this happened, and now you got another person saying this happened, and now you got, oh, well, he farted in my face. You know, it's just, you're going to have all these things coming out. Whether he did or didn't do it, it's not the point. It's just ugly, and it's just not good for the game. And whether he did it or didn't do it, I don't want to comment. Those are if it's true, it's just a terrible thing, and he's a bad person, and those things happen. But we'll never know, and that's what makes it ugly. It's just really going to get ugly before we can really talk about Antonio Brown as a football player.
Yeah, I'm kind of holding off judgment on the Antonio Brown stuff because I kind of want to just wait until it goes. Plus, it's just from what the reports are, yeah, it's a lot of ugly. But the good thing, though, is the NFL has shown, Roger Goodell, the NFL has shown, they really know how to handle these situations really well. They do it time and time again. They'll probably find a way to fumble it.
Yeah, so I'm going to disagree. So here's the thing, Kevin. The NFL is great if they've got a police report, if they've got a voice recording, or if they've got videotape. If Ray Rice hadn't hit a woman in an elevator that had a camera, Ray Rice probably plays two more years.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have. The right thing happened. So all those listeners out there, the right thing happened to Ray Rice. I'm not going to. Kareem Hunt probably doesn't get suspended for 8 games if there's not a video camera in that hallway showing him kicking a woman. Was it the right thing to do? Absolutely. He shouldn't have done it. He knows he shouldn't have done it. But if those things aren't videotaped or there, NFL's not doing nothing. So that's where I'm a little concerned about what the NFL is going to do in this case. And if they overreact or underreact, it's just going to be ugly.
Yeah, I agree. The whole situation just it sucks because it takes a game we love to see, and it just it muddies it and makes it dirty and nasty. Yeah, and
because man, can he play football?
He is good at football.
Yep, holy
football.
Cow!
He is good at football. He might. We don't know if he's a good human being. It looks like it's possible he's not, but he can play football.
Yeah, he can play football.
Yeah,
I wanted to throw out my bad, and I mentioned with the Jets earlier about not making the playoffs. But also, did you see that they wish someone? I'm trying to find the name of the guy now, but. On Monday, or it might have been Sunday, they wished one of their players happy birthday. Let's see, who was it? Safety Bennett Jackson on his 28th birthday. They tweeted out and wished him a happy birthday. Then they deleted the birthday tweet and cut Bennett Jackson on his birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, well, just when you thought the Jets couldn't be any more Jets than they already are, they wished the guy a happy birthday. And then, so probably what happened was a social media guy was like, oh, look, it's one of our players' birthday. Let's do like a little happy birthday thing. And then like the GM was like, hey, we're cutting this guy. You need to delete that tweet.
Get that down.
Take that down. But once it's out there, as we all know, it's out there. And they've got screenshots of it. And so poor Bennett Jackson, they get told happy birthday. And then so he's like, you know, celebrating his birthday. And then he gets called by whoever, Adam Gase, and just like, hey, by the way, happy birthday, but you're out of a job. Like, what?
Come and bring on. Your playbook.
Yeah, and bring your playbook to the locker.
I will say this, though. Since he was playing for the Jets, if he gets picked up by somebody else, it really was a happy birthday.
True. It could turn out pretty well for him. All right, I think that about – did y'all have any other things y'all wanted to bring up? I can't wait to watch. Also, just before we get out, the NFL, can they do better? What was it? Was it 12 early games and like 3 late games?
It was really bad. It was really bad.
Give us a few more late ones. Why do you have to cram all of them early? Or do like the March Madness where we stagger the start times where the fourth quarters all like kind of go in time. Like, you know, like something better than that, right?
I still have neck pains from all the back and forth I had to do trying to watch all the different screens on my direct ticket. You know, it was terrible, the number of games that were out there. I was like back and forth. I've got carpal tunnel on my thumb because I was switching back and forth. So it's just terrible. They need to, come on, balance it out, guys. Give us a little help. I can see 8 screens on a big TV. Listen, you can only have 8 games. Can't be having that many.
You see the like my first thought was like when we see March Madness, and it's where like I love how they the way they stagger those start times. You get like one game's ending, and if I know you can't make it to where we can watch every game at once, you're gonna have to have a bunch of games play at once. But at least start one at noon and 12:15 and 12:30, and then you end up with the fourth quarter of each game kind of like happening all at once, and you get all your. I just don't understand why I start them all at once. I just don't get the point of it.
That's a fair point,
Kevin. You make a great point. Here's the only thing I like about bye weeks is it reduces the number of teams that are out there playing. And it actually does make for a little more enjoyable experience if you're people like us who have nothing else to do in life but to watch football.
Right. I'm going to spend my whole day on Sunday in front of a TV screen watching football. Yeah. So at least make it good for me. I know other people might be doing productive things on Sunday, but no, I'm going to be sitting right there on my couch.
If the only thing they could do better is to quit playing on Thursdays. Jeez.
Well, we got a barn burner. This Thursday, we get an AFC, AFC South Titans versus the Jaguars. I think we got it. It's like our inaugural. Once a year, we always get an awful Thursday night game with the AFC South. And we get, but the good thing is,
just once a year,
the good thing is we get to see Mr. Gardner Minshew the second. And is there any story I could tell you? There are all these like folk stories are coming out about this guy after his beautiful mustache and his porn suit that he wore to the game. And like some of the stories, apparently his name is Gardner Minshew the second, but there's not a first. Did y'all hear that?
No.
His dad named him the second, but there's no Gardner Minshew the first. His dad's name is Flint. Their granddad's name's not Gardner. He just named him the second because he liked it. And then even better, the Athletic also wrote a piece that his granddad wanted to name him this. He was saying that they should name him Beowulf. But his mom wouldn't let him, so they named him Gardner Minshew the second instead.
Beowulf Minshew.
And then supposedly Mike Leach came out and said, he confirmed some rumors that back in the day at Washington State, Minshew had this weird pregame ritual where he would stretch in the locker room in nothing but a jock strap. And he did it again, apparently, this past week. There's a story where Steve Spurrier. So after the game, Steve Spurrier wanted at a Washington State game. He was on the sideline because he's friends with Mike Leach. He was going to go watch the game. And he watched the game. He's like, man, I really like that Minshew kid. I want to. Can I go talk to him? And Mike Leach's like, yeah, he's in the locker room. Go ahead. And Spurrier says when he walked in there, it was just Minshew with his stash and his long hair and a headband and a jock strap. Do it like run it, like doing some kind of dance and stretching thing after the game. And nothing but a jock strap. And then supposedly he did it this past week before the Houston game.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, I don't know if all these things are true or not, but I think you could tell me just about anything with Gardner Minshew the second, and I just want to believe it because his look and everything about it, he's just awesome.
It is awesome. But to go, the story you guys told last week, to go from, okay, I'm going to quit and become a, get into coaching, to getting recruited by Mike, the Pirate Leach, and then getting a six-round pick, and now you're starting in the NFL with a porn stash and
the jock strap.
Just,
I mean, that's what the dude looks like. Someone who's just like, I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm happy that I'm still playing football for a living. This is great. And he's fun to watch. Wait.
When he becomes really, really good, they're going to say, you got Minshew.
I'm hoping. I'm holding out hope. I think Minshew, he's going to end up, Dad, you know, Dylan said he's going to be better than Tom Brady. Obviously Dylan's a little crazy, but he just likes a guy with a mustache, but that is neither here nor there.
That's another story, I guess. Isn't
it? Yeah, I guess that came out funny. All right, well, I think that'll wrap up this week's edition of the Just Press Play Pod. By the way, we do want you to know, if you go over to mybookie.com and put in the promo code CHAIR, they will double your deposit. So go in there. If you're going to put some money on some games, maybe you want to go lay down the Cowboys minus 20.5 over the Dolphins, go do it over at MyBookie, put in the promo code CHAIR and double your deposit. And we want to once again thank Blue Chew for being a sponsor of the podcast. If you go to bluechew.com and put the promo code ARMCHAIR, you can try it for free. All you got to do is pay the $5 shipping. So appreciate both of them for being sponsors of the pod. What's up, Tone?
Can I give a shout out to MyBookie?
Of course.
So they've put a little prop bet out there that is players to score more than 2 touchdowns. Now, they ate my ass this weekend because I picked DeSean Jackson, which was a mistake.
Did he not play?
His green.
He had like 2 plays.
I was about to say he didn't play much.
Yeah, pulled his green. But I think that's one of the most interesting bets because you bet a little and there's some big, huge odds. And I'm going to continue to play that. It's fun. Pick somebody that just out of the ordinary, somebody like Marquise Brown. Or someone that could really, you know,
that you really think is going to blow up.
Not a big deal. That's a really cool bet, and props to my bookie for that. I know they made money off me this weekend, but I'm going to get it back.
But you wait, because we'll be back and better than ever this week. All right, well, that'll do another week, Tone. We appreciate you hopping on. Pops, always good to chat it up, and we will be back next week with another edition. For now, peace out.
Peace.
Do y'all know where the saying, I gotta pee like a Russian racehorse, comes from? Do Russian racehorses?
Actually, I think I have heard this. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, because I had to do it. Why?
So apparently, Russians were notorious for, they thought it made their horses faster if they didn't let them pee, so they'd make them hold it in, and it would make them faster in the races. And so then afterward, they always had to pee really bad.
Really? Keep a horse from peeing. I just want
to know. How do you keep a horse from peeing? I don't know if it's actually true, but that's where the saying I think came from.
Oh.
Let me see. I'm going to look it up now.
You put a rubber band around it, or what do you do?
I mean, the hell? I don't know, but I do not run faster than I have to pee. I'll just tell you that right now.
I don't know. That little quick like jog that I do to the bathroom when I got to pee where I don't want to sprint, but I am kind of running.
Oh, my.
Let's see. Advice.
I don't think I'd win a race doing it.